Yeah, good morning to you and welcome to Realm of the Historics. Once you hear that sound, you should know that the man himself is in charge. This is the man himself, the only reliable kinetic energy in town. And it's Sunday. Once you hear that sound, you should know that he's the man himself in charge. It's a good morning to you and welcome to Realm of the Historics. Very soon we are going to celebrate the birthday of Realm of the Historics. You know, Realm of the Historics is one of those programs that have been here for, you know, hey, since ever. You know, in 2020, when we revamped the weekend show programs, when it was decided that every weekend show must have content, Realm of the Historics was one of the first programs. And you know, my colleagues then said, I must change the name because this word, Realm of the Historics, was too difficult for them to come in and do the show. So the name was preventing them from doing the show. And you know what? I refused and I held up to that name, Realm of the Historics. Because what we deal with is the historics. We deal with the historics. This is the realm. The word realm means the environment. For your information to simplify this, we'll say the environment of the historics. But we say it's Realm of the Historics. Realm of the Historics, we have talked about a lot. We have covered a lot, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to go there because it's not yet the birthday. The birthday of Realm of the Historics. No, in fact, it's a birthday, but I've decided to make it belated. So I'm going to announce it in August. And I'm going to announce it in August, and I'm going to buy a cake and celebrate Realm of the Historics. Unfortunately, I don't know how I'm going to share the cake with everyone. It's a birthday of Realm of the Historics. Celebrating the program because we have covered a lot. And in fact, that is going to be the fifth anniversary. Okay? That is going to be the fifth anniversary of Realm of the Historics. Very powerful. 5 years. Those are not easy years. And in fact, it's 5 years of consistent, content. Okay. I don't want to beat my own drums, and I don't like that. So, I'm going to leave it for you to be the judges. But not today. We are going to announce the date. And by then, you'll be able to come on board and be the judges. And in fact, Realm of the Historics is going to continue. This is just a beginning. So it's going to continue for another, I don't know how many years. I don't know. But it's going to continue. And maybe to a certain extent, it might continue even without me. As we go, as we move forward, it might continue without me because I'm not in charge of destiny. Yes, so I'm not in charge of destiny. So Realm of the Historics is going to continue without me. But there are show programs that are 6 years. For example, Home Run is 6 years old. Early Morning Scoop is 6 years. Omtuma is 6 years. So Omoeli is 5 years. Omoeli was created in 2020. So I can tell you all the programs in my head. I know which program has served for how long. So, longest programs, Early Morning Scoop, Home Run, those are the longest shows. Do you guys remember Tech Ego? One of those shows. All right. Now, we are going to get into our discussion. But before we do that, let's take a short musical break.
Morning, bride or groom.
Groom.
This way. Morning,
bride.
Morning,
bride.
Morning, bride.
To marry
Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
Give me some
if you wanna be happy for the rest of your life. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. So if you wanna be happy for the rest of your life. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
All right, it's 23 minutes past 11, and we continue. We now are investigating. So, the German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, makes a statement this week, and he said, Russia should pay 500 billion euros for the reconstruction of Ukraine. So Russia should, in other words, Russia should pay reparations to Ukraine. That is coming out of Germany, which is responsible for the death of 40 million Europeans. And the unknown number of Europeans had died during the First World War. At least the Second World War, it was 40 million or more Europeans that died because of what? Because of Germany. And in fact, Germany is the reason why we are talking about. The reason why we have 28th of May in Namibia, Genocide Remembrance Day, is because of Germany. So now Germany is refusing to pay the Overherero and Nama damages, and at the same time trying to lecture the Russians to pay Ukraine. And of course, the Russians respond to say, look, when it comes to payment, Germany is not even supposed to say anything because you are going to pay us. In fact, Germany is responsible for 27 million deaths of what is called today the Russian Federation. So, and if you look at the casualties in Ukraine, like the civilian casualties in Ukraine since the war started, according to estimate, they are saying 16,000 people died for 3 years. Just 16,000. Of course, we cannot say just because those are valuable lives. But compared to the some people are even saying 400,000 deaths in Gaza since 2023 in October. Israel has killed hundreds of thousands of, Gazans with bombs because Israel is firing bombs indiscriminately. The Russians are targeting military installations, and that's why you have a lower casualties among civilians. If it was, you know, America killed around 600,000 people in Iraq in 1990, and around 800,000 people in civilians in Iraq again in 2003. And over 1 million people died in Afghanistan. 1 million civilians. We don't even know how many millions died in Vietnam, where they even used chemical weapons. And of course, in Yugoslavia, they also use depleted uranium shells. So when it comes to lecturing, Germany should not lecture any country, because Germany has a tale of bad reputation behind it, that they still need to fix. And in fact, there was something like 18 million euro that the Germans wanted to give through the old administration, but I think with the new government that is stalled. We are no longer hearing about it. We are no longer hearing about the 18 million euro. Maybe the government got it and the government is silent. Nobody knows. So when it comes to lecturing, when it comes to lecturing who is supposed to lecture who, I think the West do not have any ground to lecture any country.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian.
Passionately feeding the nation. All right. So when it comes to the lecturing, teaching who to behave in what manner, the West, especially countries like Germany, France, Britain, should not have any word to say. Because those three countries, now adding to the United States of America, of course, and Japan, those countries, five of them, are responsible for the atrocities this period of 100 years that we have lived. It is Britain and France that carved up Asia. It is Britain and France that carved up Africa. It is Germany that committed the most ferocious killings of the 20th century. and it was committed right in these regions. So the whole southern Namibia is on the blood of, you know, the Ovahereros and Nama ethnic groups, in fact, indigenous of the land. So, and nobody in the West is talking about that. Nobody in the West is even lecturing Germany to man up and you know, act accordingly. Because now the Germans are telling the Russians to rebuild Ukraine, when the Germans are the ones, in fact, pumping weapons and money into Ukraine. And they are looking for what? They are looking for the strategic defeat of Russia as a country and carve it up. And that has been the agenda since 1949. That's the reason why NATO was established. Is to make sure that the Soviets are defeated. And when the Soviet collapsed in 1991, we went into what we call the unipolar, when the United States were the sole power of the world. But then now, we are no longer in a bipolarity or unipolarity. Now we are in the multipolarity. And countries don't want to be bullied anymore. I want to give you an example that India thought they could bully Pakistan. They know now that when if they have to start a war with Pakistan, they have to prepare themselves. Because there are countries that look at other countries as if they are big and other countries are small, and then they can do what they want. So Israel will know now that Iran is not Gaza. So, Israel will know now that Iran is not Gaza, is not Syria. And of course, the United States of America will know that they miscalculated, overcalculated, and Europe will also know that they over-exaggerated their power and capabilities. And in fact, they misrepresented their financial muscle, thinking that they can sanction Russia and then bring it to its knees. And they ended up destroying their own economies. Except the Hungarians and later on the Slovakians or the Slovaks, with now the Prime Minister Fico. The Hungarian Prime Minister Peter Orban, has always looked at the bigger picture. They always looked at the bigger picture. And it's the same thing with Israel. Israel looked at the bigger picture and said, look, I don't want to sanction Russia. And Zelensky has been calling for the Iron Dome to come to Ukraine, because Zelensky was made to feel, to think that he's Europe's angel and America's son. And therefore, Israel must provide its modern air defense system, the Iron Dome. But Benjamin Netanyahu said, nope, because participating in this war is mostly disadvantageous to Israel. Looking at how tiny Israel is and the location where Israel is, and looking at the enmity between Israel and the Islamic world. So if Israel would have taken part in that conflict and providing its technology to Ukraine, that technology would be seized and it would end up in the hands of the Iranians. And the Iranians will do reverse engineering. And they will use it again to target Israel. And Israel will have no leg to stand on defending itself. That was prudence from Israel. They looked at it with prudence, and they said, no. In fact, we also have a lot of Jewish population in Russia. We are not going to participate in this, for it is for our security. And the Hungarians also looked at it and said, nope, we are not going to sanction Russia, because we need Russian energy for our people. We look at our people, not our political correctness. We don't want to be correct, to be politically correct on a European marking book. We rather be correct in the eyes of our own people than to be correct in the eyes of Brussels. We are not going to be part of any sanction. We are going to continue buying Russian energy. And as we speak, Hungary has one of the most stable energy supply that has never been shaken. So the Americans also, in as much as they slapped Russia with sanctions, they also calculated and said, look, we need the Russians when it comes to space collaboration. The cooperation when it comes with space technology, we need the Russians. We need the Russians for nuclear fuel, because they are the ones that produce nuclear fuel in abundance. We are not even going to sanction titanium, because we need titanium as a rare earth metal for the production of aircraft. And the Americans, in as much as they say Biden was reckless, to a certain extent, Biden was also collected. He was also, you know, prudent, because he did not cross the lines. By this time, if all lines were crossed, there could have been a nuclear exchange, and that would have resulted to the total obliteration of the world. By this time, each of us would have been in the bosoms of their own ancestors. So, hypocrisy is very costly. Hypocrisy is very expensive. the results of hypocrisy are very costly. But hypocrisy itself is a blindfolder where you see other people's errors and you don't see your own. When you try to lecture other people and you don't look at your own, you don't improve yourself, that becomes hypocrisy. And the Germans are good at this, at least this administration. You know, Germany was very collective. Was those countries that were in Europe that were, you know, that could oppose the United States. That was Germany through the leadership of Gerhard Schroeder. And France during the leadership of Jacques Chirac. You know, and the France in the 50s. You know, France has been, you know, during that time, during the leadership of Gerhard Schroeder of Germany, and of course, Jacques Chirac of France. They opposed the Iraqi war blatantly. And of course, Tony Blair and Bush, Australia, Canada, Japan, and of course, Japan also, that was, I think, the leadership of John Shiro Koizumi. Yeah. That was during the leadership of Johnny Shiro Koizumi. That was during the leadership of John Shiro Koizumi. I remember very well. That was around 2003 there. I've been following this very well. You know? I remember very well those leaders. And now, the Russians are reminding the Germans what they have done. And that if it is about to pay, Germany is the one that's supposed to pay, not them. Because in fact, the Germans are part of the root causes of the war in Ukraine. This is a talking point from the Kremlin. They believe that the Germans are part of the root causes of the war in Ukraine. And in 1998, when Bill Clinton visited Moscow, they had a meeting with Vladimir Putin. And Putin asked Bill Clinton, he showed his interest to join NATO. And Bill Clinton went, well, something to think about. And then the next morning, Bill Clinton came back and told Putin, say, no, that's not possible. You can't join NATO. And in 2007, Putin again repeated the same thing, showing interest to join NATO. Because the Russians were interested in the security architecture of Europe. And they had to realize that NATO exists to their detriment. They cannot join NATO, because if the Russia join NATO, what will the reason for NATO's existence be? NATO exists because of Russia. So now, say for example, Russia and China, they all join NATO. Then what? There'll be no enemy. There'll be no enemy. And NATO was created to deal with United States enemies. And of course, the most enemies of the United States are Russia and China. China is competing with the United States economically. In fact, even technologically, scientifically, they are competing, and the United States is not happy with that. And then Russia is competing with the United States militarily. And astronomically, then they compete scientifically, and the United States is not happy with that. So for Germany to come out and say Russia must pay, that is, you know, blue or maybe white, transparent hypocrisy. Because the same Germany that is concerned about Ukraine, where there is no genocide, should have been the same Germany that must be concerned about the genocide that they committed, in fact, in Namibia. So the reason why they ran away from that is because they know. And in fact, no country could pressure the Germans to pay like they did for the Jews. Because, I mean, for the Jews it was easy, because Britain, France, America wanted to use the Jews as their proxy in the Middle East. So it was easy for them to fix everything for them. But if Namibia could be a proxy of the United States against any country, maybe in SADC here, immediately you will hear conversation about reparation and Germany will pay. No, you know, there'll be no two ways about that one. If America decides that Germany must pay for the reparation here, Germany will pay without delay. So Germany will pay without delay. If the Americans decide that. Now, when we talk about who should pay who, we are not only talking about Germany. Everyone will pay the other person. Everybody has committed atrocities. And we are good at running away from our own problems. So, in fact, we shouldn't talk about who should pay who. Maybe the only thing that can help us is just for us to reconcile, forgive one another, and move on. Because the Germans too, especially the First World War, they have a reason why they started the First World War. But That is just spoken by the victors. And if you say otherwise, you'll be told, you'll be called a pro-Nazi or a pro-whatever. But the Germans are the ones that organized. They are the ones that organized the Berlin Conference. I mean, initiated the conference with an aim to organize the scramble of Africa. But the Germans ended up just getting junk from that. France and Britain took the best of Africa. And Germany ended up just getting junk. And that's what frustrated the Germans. One of those reasons. In fact, don't forget the Austro-Hungarian drama. It's also one of the contributing factors to the First World War. If you want to understand, just go and read. Then, the Russians are saying, well, the Bolshevik revolution is as a result of your involvement, as a result of your involvement. So you also need to pay for that. You also need to pay for that. And don't forget about the 27 million Russians that are dead. Don't forget that. So, combining that, I think German will pay trillions, if not quadrillions of dollars. So, and if we start to say who must pay who, we will start here in Namibia. The Germans will pay. South Africa will also pay. And if we go into our pre-colonial history, we will find out that we will also need to pay other tribes for the atrocities that we have committed against them. And there is a hypocrisy in black community. We are going for a short musical break, and after that we are going to expose some of the hypocrisies that are in black community. We'll be back.
lonely, no one waiting by your side. You've been running, hiding much too long. No, it's just your foolish pride.
Hey, love, got me on my knees, hey, love. Begging, darling, please, hey, love. Darling, won't you ease my worried mind?
Tried to give you consolation when your man had let you down. Like a fool, fell in love with you. You turned my whole world upside down.
Layla, got me on my knees, Layla. Begging, darling, please, Layla. Darling, won't you ease my worried mind?
Make the best of this situation, for I finally go insane. Please don't say,
never find a way.
Tell me all my love's in vain.
Layla, got me on my knees, Layla. Begging, darling, please, Layla. Darling, won't you ease my worried mind? Got me on my knees, Layla. Begging, darling, please, Layla. Darling, won't you ease my worried mind?
I've been here for 40 years, before some of you were born, and it's the best place I've ever played. It's the best place in the world. Thank you for everything.
Had a change and something got a hold of me. Go on.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. And I get a feeling that I never, 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 never
know he talk lightly. Oh, he make me feel alright, yeah. Oh, he make me feel alright, yeah.
Alright, so we black people also have our own hypocrisy that we try to run away from as much as we can, and we try to hide behind us being victims of everything that happened in the world about us. We are innocent. But is that true? Is that true? No, it is not true. We are not entirely innocent as black people. We are not entirely innocent. In fact, even if we look at the slave trade, we participated nicely, knowingly, that we are selling someone to somebody. And we sold tribes that were minority, people from minority tribes or people from our own tribesmen that we didn't approve. We sold them as slaves to the Portuguese. You know, Angola participated nicely in slave trades. They sold slaves to the Portuguese. Slave trade was a lucrative business. And the British only ended it because the Americans were making profit out of it nicely. And the American economy was threatening the British economy. And because Britain was an empire at that time, they decided to end it so that they can shrink the fastest growing American economy. Because there was so much cheap labor. And the British were lagging behind. And that's why they stopped it. They did not stop it because they repented and because of conscience. No. In fact, whoever tells you, no, we ended slavery because we discovered it was not a good practice, it's a lie. The truth is that they stopped it so that they can cripple the American fastest growing economy. That's why they stopped it. So, we participated in slave trade. That's number one. Number two, we participated in coups that ousted legitimate governments, and we came in and our own countries now are dens of confusion. You see, Congo, where it is today, is because of also the ignorance of, you know, the leaders of Congo at that time. I don't want to use another word. Let me just use the softer word, ignorance. Because they overthrew a government, democratic, and from then to date, Congo has ever been in chaos. It's just an overthrow after the other. So, if you are a Congolese president, you are likely to be overthrown. The possibility is higher than rainfall. Because they planted the seed. So, the Patrice Lumumba was overthrown, killed in cold-blooded. Killed in cold-blooded, if I have to break English. Then Cesar Seko came to power, and he was also overthrown. Kabila came to power, and he was assassinated. So, because it's a pattern. Once you shed blood, it sets up an alarm for you. It becomes a pattern. You know, the reason why you see Namibia likely to hand over power easily is because of how Namibia started. Power handed over peacefully. There was no fight. So the founding father comes to power, hands over power, steps down. The second president comes to power, hands over power, steps down. The third president, of course, could not finish his term, departs, being in power. And then the fourth president takes over power, hands over power, steps down, no fight. And now we have the fifth president, the fifth presidency, which it is also likely, the likelihood is very high, higher than rainfall, to hand over power peacefully and stepping down without any fight. And that might go on for maybe 100 years, because that's an alarm, it's a pattern that has been set. So it's a pattern that has been set. That's an alarm. Because peace also has a pattern. It just goes, how you start is also very important, in as much as your end is important. But your beginning is also very important, because it's the one that sets up a tone or a pace. So, the Germans, cannot, or the West cannot teach anyone morality, because they don't have morality themselves. Black people, we cannot lecture the rest of everyone, because we also have our own tale of embarrassment that is behind us. And the reason why we do not move forward, we are also bound in chains. We are also hypocrites. Europe will never move, Europe will never develop peacefully. For Europe to develop or for America to be rich, there must be an overthrow of any, of a certain country and taking over resources. They have inherited this from the Romans. It is a pattern. You need to kill somebody for you to get something. That's Europe. It's a pattern. And I'm just setting up a foundation so that next week we are going to talk about the dangers of blood. You know, how we are in a problem today is because of blood. So stay tuned next week. How blood can corrode a nation. It's not only blood that can do that. Hypocrisy can also corrode somebody. When you want to lecture people, because a hypocrite is somebody who thinks they are correct and everybody else is wrong. Because that person would not even want to be corrected. And in fact, a hypocrite fears no one. Or regards no one apart from themselves. They regard no one except themselves. When you want others to listen to you, when you are the one lecturing, but when it is time for you to be corrected, you become as defensive as you can be. This is mostly in women. When they want to lecture everyone else and they can't be corrected. It is hypocrisy. And it is also in politicians. It is also in religious leaders. When they want to teach everyone what they don't practice. That is hypocrisy. So, it is in women, it is in politicians, it is in pastors, it is in children. It's a corrosion. When politicians want to lecture everyone, when they themselves cannot be corrected, how many political parties do we have today in Namibia? 21. It's because of hypocrisy. Because if you correct me, I move out of the party and I go and form my own party. How many churches do we have in Namibia? Thousands. Why? Hypocrisy. Because somebody cannot be corrected, yet wanting to correct somebody. When they are corrected, they move out and they form their own churches. The reason why women cannot work together is not because they can't work together. It's because they see each other as competitors. That is hypocrisy. When they find it difficult to compliment another woman unless they have an agenda that they want to benefit from what she's doing. You cannot put women in one place now. And a day goes by without hearing drama. That's not because that is how they are wired. No, this is an acquired character. It's a corrosion. It's a self-acquired character where in society women are made to feel like they are queens and angels and they cannot be corrected. And if you speak anything about them, no matter how true it is, you are called, you are misogynic. Now, there is something called misogynic or misogyny. And there is nothing called menogyny. When somebody speaks ill about a man, it is called freedom of expression. You know, when somebody says ill about a boy child, that is called expression, rising up for their rights. But when a boy child says something about a girl, it is called misogyny. You see how embarrassing hypocrisy is? It's double standard is worse than any disease in this world. You see, if you have to set a choice for me to choose HIV or COVID-19 over hypocrisy, I would rather be infected by HIV or COVID-19 than to fall into a trap of being, you know, of being a hypocrite. It is a corrosion, and in fact, you go nowhere because you can't be corrected. Most hypocrites are unteachable. When you are a hypocrite, you might end up moving from one company to the other, thinking your bosses are the ones that are wrong, while you are the one that has a problem. So at the end of the day, you move from one company to the other and you always move with the bad stories about the former company where you employed. You go and spread bad stories about your former boss. So you end up being a company basher. And then you end up being the toxic. You are just new in that company, but you are the one that is at the forefront of all the gossips in office corridors. You see, you are just 3 weeks in a company, but you are already the super knowledgeable of who is doing what with what. So that's already a sign that you are the toxic. And even if you should move out of that company and you go into a new company, you continue to be the toxic because you are not aware of how much a problem you are. And not only to others, but even to yourself, you are becoming a plague to yourself. So that's how dangerous hypocrisy is. Because wherever you go. Okay, now let me just show you how hypocritical we have been. I want to start with politics. And I mean no offense. You see? And I always give a disclaimer that emotions aside and let's talk. That's disclaimer number one. Disclaimer number two, I'm apolitical and irreligious, so I don't ascribe to any political affiliation. Neither do I ascribe to any denomination denominational affiliation. So this gives me a position to hammer everyone freely without fear or favor. Now we take it step by step. And I just want you to know how hypocritical we are. Okay? And we'll go down up to our own houses. Now, let's start with politics. In the 1950s, the Americans overthrew a government in Iran, created their own, supported the Shah, and after that, in 1979, revolution comes in Iran and the Shah is overthrown. The Iranians set up their own government that they want. The Americans raise Saddam. I just want you to know, Saddam was raised by the Americans from in 1979, around there. They made Saddam Hussein take over Iraq, suppressed everyone. They even give him chemical weapons to fight Iran from 1980 to 1988. 8 years. And then, hypocrisy. At the same time, the Americans were raising Kuwait as an alternative should Saddam start to misbehave. And around 1989, there was chaos between Saddam of Iraq and the Kuwaiti authorities. Saddam was saying, guys, you are tapping from our oil field. We also want to sell. We want to recover. We want to recover. But Kuwait was not listening. Then Saddam summons the American ambassador. In Iraq, and say, look, we want our oil back. Kuwait is taking from our oil field. Please, can you have something to say? Can you tell them to stop? You know what the ambassador says? We don't interfere in Arab stories. We don't interfere in stories of the Arab world. Okay, then Saddam assumes that he was given a green light to take actions. So Saddam takes action against Kuwait. But the Kuwaitis were told by the Americans, don't worry about that fellow. Just continue taking oil. And then Saddam sends the elite, army, presidential guard. They go in and they do a clean job. They take over Kuwait in 24 hours without looting, without, killing any civilian. And then the Americans attack, Iraq. You know how they created that drama to justify the war. I don't want to go there. Okay, that's international hypocrisy. That is international hypocrisy. Now let's come to our own hypocrisy in Namibia. When people are in SWAPO and you look at somebody from PDM, you look at them as if they are lost. When you are in SWAPO and you look at somebody in SWANU, for example, you think that they are lost. And then you come out of SWAPO, and then you want everyone to follow you because you think those who are in SWAPO are lost. That's hypocrisy. That becomes hypocrisy. Okay, I'm going to give you a practical example. Let me scratch your back a little bit. IPC, you know, the Independent Patriot for Change. Before that, it was Independent Candidacy, 2019. Wanting to be an independent candidate in SWAPO, and of course SWAPO was exposed badly because they didn't have any clause in their constitution that, you know, how can I say, that absolutely points, there was no clause in their constitution that stipulates that you can't be an independent candidate. They had to amend the constitution hastily. They have to amend the constitution hastily and then buy Tula from SWAPO. Okay? So, buy Tula from SWAPO, and I'm going to use SWAPO as SWAPO and IPC as an example because they are the only parties that had, you know, concrete drama that I can use. Or, you know, I might also go to AR. I just want us to understand our own hypocrisy that is corroding us. In fact, taking our morality away. And we don't even notice that. Okay, so let's go step by step. Okay, so SWAPO buys Itula Itula is barred from SWAPO. Expelled. Okay? And then in 2020, IPC is born. And before that, Knowledge Ipinge wanted to participate as an independent candidate of a certain by-election under IPC. But he was told, nope, it does not work. In fact, in the constitution of IPC, does not allow independent candidacy. You see, that hypocrisy is international. In fact, it's intercontinental. That becomes an intercontinental hypocrisy. So Itula wanted to be an independent candidate in SWAPO. And it did not work. So he comes and forms IPC and makes sure that independent candidacy should not even be a spoken issue in IPC. In fact, it does not exist. It should not exist. Nobody must ever dream about that. It's a no-go. What's that? Hypocrisy. Okay? We are coming step by step. So in the 15th century, Martin Luther comes up with the Lutheran Church because whatever was done in the Roman Catholic Church was evil and unscriptural, and in fact it was satanic according to Martin Luther. And then he creates a Lutheran Church and continues with the same thing that he deemed satanic because it was done by the Roman Catholic. So he continues doing it. That religious hypocrisy. So I was talking about political hypocrisy. Now we are talking about religious hypocrisy. In fact, Martin Luther killed a lot of people also himself. And the same thing that he was condemning from the Catholic. For example, they condemned the removal of certain books in the Bible. He also continues doing it to the point that he almost removed the book of Jacob, the book of James. He almost removed the book of James from the Bible. That is Martin Luther. That's hypocrisy. When you tell people not to do what you do, or when you do something and then to you it is good, but somebody does it, it is bad. That becomes hypocrisy. So let's go. Now, religion, politics. If we come down to our own families, families, we find out that we have double standard. What is wrong, when your child is the one doing something, you have a way to, in fact, what if you have two children, especially in families where you find children that are born outside and they are raised all together, like I come with my child, my wife also comes with her child. You will find out that these children will be treated differently. What is wrong there? What cannot be tolerated to my child? If my child does something, it cannot be tolerated. But if her child does something, there is no reprimand. There is a word, there is a proverb in Oshawamba that justifies hypocrisy. There are two. One says, unyiki holudu. The second one says, oku okuya kuid beteta. So those two proverbs justify hypocrisy blatantly. So it's double standard. And it is double standard that is busy corroding our world. Because politicians have double standard. You find a political party declare, forcing another political party to declare where they got their money for the campaign. But when you are asked the same question, you want to be emotional. It's the same question, but it is turned to you this time. Where did you get your money for your election campaign? It's a problem. So, it is dangerous for us to hand our lives in the hands of politicians and religious leaders. That's very dangerous. In fact, that is reckless from our side. We cannot have our lives run by politicians. And we cannot have our lives run by religious leaders. That will be the most reckless thing you could ever commit. It is suicide. Our lives must be run by conscience. In fact, there are three people that are very dangerous in Namibia. One, politician. Two, religious leaders. Three, human rights activists. Those three are very dangerous. And if you surrender your life to them, you are committing suicide.
Miss Peaches had a change and something got a hold of me. Go ahead.
I'd like to do a song that I wrote. It's a story about a girl that rather, that's right. It's about a girl who would rather go blind than to watch her lover leave her. I'd rather be a blind girl, Delia. when I looked down in the glass. Then I held to my lips and I saw the reflection of the tears rolling down my face. That's when I knew I loved you and I couldn't do without you. And I'd rather be a blind girl, baby.
Yeah.
So, when it comes to lecturing, who? Before you lecture, you must think twice. Because you might be throwing stones while you yourself are in a house of glass. And people will be throwing stones to you. So, if you are an egg, behave, otherwise you will break. So, I have seen parents double standard. You know, what is correct here is wrong there. The same thing done by two people. The other one will be correct. The other one will be wrong. It's a politicians. You know? When they are the one talking about others, apparently they are speaking the truth and they are standing for the rights of the Namibian masses. But when it is them being spoken about, apparently they are targeted. It's political witch hunt. It's a political witch hunt. But the same thing, when they are the ones saying it, it's the truth. But when the truth is said about them, it become a politically motivated something, a witch hunt. When they are telling people, they are preaching the truth. But if you face a pastor and try to correct him, you will be called a rebel. That's rebellion, insubordinate. You become insubordinate. That's insubordination. Okay? So, and I spoke about women earlier, and I said, when women are talking about men, they can even say the most ill words about men. It is called rising and speaking up. You know? She's just speaking up. She's speaking her rights. It's her right. But let a man say the same thing, it is called misogyny. The hypocrisy has become intercontinental. To the point that between us and hypocrisy, there will be no difference. And I said, three people that are at the helm of hypocrisy. One, politician. Two, religious leaders. Three, the so-called human rights activists. Now, when we are talking about societal hypocrisy, as I call it, when you are talking about societal hypocrisy, is run by three people. One, politicians. Two, religious leaders. Three, human rights activists. And putting your trust or putting your life in the hands of those three, you are committing suicide. Because what is correct today can be wrong tomorrow. They don't have a stance that you can rely on.
Franz.
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
So today you don't want to interact with us with that very relevant and crucial topic of yours. Because we thought we were going to just interact, you know. We are learning and there are issues that we do not understand. We also need more explanation from you.
Okay, this let's interact next week. I'm sorry I did not pick up your call because okay. I wanted to break down certain things.
No problem, because it's very crucial, you know, very, very, very important, and we have not learned these things from the other schools.
Okay, so what I can do, keep your thought that you wanted to say, whatever you wanted to say today,
okay.
Let's come and meet next Sunday.
Yeah, thank you very much, Franz.
Okay.
God bless.
Right. Right, so next Sunday I will remember to take the calls. Sometimes I think nobody's calling, so that's why I don't check. But, you see, we are hypocrites. And it's not only the Germans that are displaying it. We all have our own hypocrisy. And if you are a supervisor in a company, you can even suggest to your boss for a certain person to be fired. You know, you can do that. You are a supervisor, so you are in charge. You can even fire certain people. But you revolt when you are corrected by the same boss. So that's how hypocrisy works. When you cannot account for your own mistakes, and you are always quick to point to other people's mistakes and in fact facilitate the process where other people should be brought to book when you yourself can't be brought to book. That's a corrosion. It is hypocrisy. And it's done in companies where, you know, somebody is a supervisor. And the junior person must not answer back. But meet the same supervisor talking to the superiors. He's doing exactly what the juniors cannot do to him. He's doing it to his superiors. You know, that's how hypocritical we are. Okay? So, it is in fact hypocrisy that is facilitating most of the drama that we are going through. Because no one wants to admit they are wrong and at least change. Everyone is correct. And this is a problem. The kinetic energy is landing the man himself. And it is 1 o'clock. Let me hand over the mic to the north. We are going to meet next Sunday. Same time, same frequency. From me, the only reliable kinetic energy, one and only two, is a goodbye.